Did you know that AI is helping real estate professionals reduce their cost per click expenses by up to 98% while increasing their reach and market engagement by more than 93%? Whether you're targeting downsizers, investors, sellers, buyers, or even looking for new team members, there's an ad for that waiting in the Real Easy Ads dashboard. Let groundbreaking technology, the vast reach of social media, and the power of AI do the heavy lifting for you. Join the agents of tomorrow by getting started today. Head over to realeasyads.com and let's set up a call so I can give you a live demo. Well, hi everybody and welcome back to the show. I am in Southern Ontario heading up to the cottage from Toronto. It's about a 2-hour drive along the beautiful back roads and highways of Southern Ontario. It's about 18 degrees. It's a Wednesday in May, and I've actually got high hopes tonight of seeing the Northern Lights. I've never seen the Northern Lights before. They have been active this week because I've been seeing on the TV that there's a large electromagnetic storm going on. So some of you around the world might have had the opportunity to see them. I know they've been in many parts of the world, so anyway, that's my mission for this weekend. Hopefully it happens. I wanted to dedicate today's episode to a little bit of a pet favourite topic of mine, and I call it the magic window. And when I say the magic window, I'm referring to that period of time between when you first make a listing appointment with a potential seller and when you turn up, the actual appointment. So that window of time might be a few hours, as it often is. It might be a few days. I think the perfect time is 24 to 48 hours. The ideal time, if you get a say in determining the appointment time, I would definitely go for 24 or 48 hours. I don't really have any idea around or preference for being first agent in, last agent in. It doesn't really concern me too much, because I think if the presentation is good enough, it doesn't matter. One of the reasons I wanted to get into this today is because I've been connecting with quite a few of the agents I work with of late, and I've noticed some of them, and we're all pretty honest in our group, but I've been interested to learn that the strike rate for quite a few agents, you know, many, I'm talking some successful agents as well, who are doing some pretty amazing numbers, but their success rate at a listing presentation is as low as 20 or 30%. In other words, if they go to 10 properties where the sellers are going to be going on the market at any point, they're only listing 2 or 3 out of those 10. So it got me thinking, boy, what do we need to do to improve our success rate at the listing presentation? And then the next most obvious question, I guess, is why are these agents actually losing the listing at the listing presentation? So if we can answer those questions, I think we're a long way towards solving the issue, or at least improving our strike rate at a listing pres. And if you think about it, if you're doing 10 listing presentations in a month and you increase your percentage by just 10%, so if you list one extra property, that's a substantial amount each year, obviously, if you calculate your average GCI. So the two reasons I believe why agents lose the listing is, firstly, they don't get the opportunity to build a lot of rapport. And I guess I should have said at the start that I'm talking about listing presentations where you go in, as many of them are, and you don't know the seller and the seller doesn't know you. So there's no history, there's no rapport, there's no relationship. So you're going in cold, what I call a cold presentation. So our job as the agent, as the listing agent, if we want to win the business, is obviously to warm everything up and to turn it into a warm presentation. So firstly, we need to build some better rapport. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. There can't be any trust until there's substantial rapport, in my opinion, anyway. The second reason, I believe, is that or something that I call price shock. And I'm sure this has happened to you. It's certainly happened to me a number of times. It's when you give your opinion of price and it's well below the seller's. So you might think a property's worth, I don't know, 800 to 850,000. I always like to give a range, at or less than 10%. But the seller thinks it's worth 950 or a million or even more. They might have come to that price by themselves, or they might have been told by one of your competitors that the price is higher than your opinion. So I figure if we can address those two issues, and if we can look for ways to reduce those two risk factors, then it's got to have a positive effect on our success rate at the listing presentation. So I want to talk about the magic window, that period of time between when you make the appointment and the actual appointment, when you turn up, because I believe that there's a lot that we can do in that time. That's why I call it the magic window. There's a lot that we can do in that time that is going to help us increase our chances of winning the listing. And the first thing is really good, it only needs to be four pages, pre-listing kit. And the pre-listing kit, and I'll take you through it, is a covering letter that says, let's say your seller's name is Jones. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Jones, looking forward to meeting with you on Friday. So let's say today's Wednesday, the meeting time is 2 o'clock on Friday. Looking forward to meeting you on Friday at 2 o'clock. New paragraph, I've taken the liberty of including some recent sales. See you Friday, warm regards, Ray. The second page of the pre-listing kit is a summary of recent sales in the area. Now, all you need to do for this, naturally you don't put the selling agent down, even if it's you. All you need to do there is the address and the selling price on the top line, then and the date sold, so those three things, address, selling price, date sold, and then a brief description. Might be the land size of the home, condition of the home, number of bedrooms, etc. Because we are looking to make it comparable with the subject property that we're actually looking at. Now, if I've done my homework before I go to see Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I'm going to know pretty much that the price range, and let's say it's between, I think the worst case scenario is 800. I think the best case is 850 or 860. And that's my feel, that's my professional opinion. So on this second page of our listing presentation, we need to have seven or eight sales that are above, below, and at that figure. So you might have a couple in the mid-late 700s, a few sales around the 800, a few sales around the middle 8s, and then a few sales around the 9 and maybe even the early 900s. So whatever that is, 8 or 10 sales maybe, I think that's probably plenty, and they just need to be on one sheet of paper. You don't want to be sending in reams of info, because I promise you it will not get read. I've seen listing presentations that are a couple of inches thick, and there is so much stuff in there, there's so much detail, and that is just an absolute, that's something that a seller is not going to tackle. They're not interested in wading through all of that information, not in my experience anyway. So I believe less is more. And what you're really looking to do here is get your simple message read well before you turn up, because there is method to this madness and you'll see how it plans out. So the second page, obviously, as I just mentioned, is all of those results with, you know, the approximate value of their property in the middle of all that comparable data, those recent sales. The third page is a page of testimonials, and you need to have somewhere between 6 and 10 testimonials. Again, they're on one side. You're not asking them to read two sides of an A4 or a American legal sheet if you're in the US. You don't want to give them too much to do. You just want to keep it simple. And your testimonials, your client reviews, need to reflect the fact that you are great at marketing, you're great at attracting multiple buyers, and that you're great at achieving a top market result. Because as we all know, there's no recommended retail price on real estate. So a testimonial might typically go, wow, thanks, Ray. It was incredible to see you handle four buyers at the same time. We don't know how you did it. The selling result was well beyond our wildest dreams. we're so very happy. We're telling all our friends, 10 out of 10. And signed off by Philip and Jane Johnson, or whatever their names might be. Don't put PJ or whatever, don't put initials, because people will just assume it's BS, as it often is. Put the real person's name down and put their suburb or city down as well, right? So you might put that down, Philip and Jane Johnson, Toronto, Ontario, or Melbourne, Australia, or wherever they're from. And that is credible. You want typically reviews that are going to reflect your excellence as a marketer, your ability to gather multiple buyers, which every seller just loves to know about, right? Everybody, every seller wants to have a bidding war for their property, and the fact that you got a great result. The final page, and not everybody does this, but I like doing it, is a questionnaire. And it's just a really simple questionnaire. Tell me about your property. Why did you buy here? Have you done any improvements of late? Just simple questions. You know, have there been any recent sales in the area that stood out to you that you think your property's comparable to? That sort of thing. Now, in my career, I've noticed that when I turn up and there's a completed questionnaire, they're going on the market. Every time when there's a completed questionnaire, and more often than not, they'll hand it to you proudly and say, hey, we've done our homework. You send us this, we've completed it. They'll give it to you. They're selling, they're going on the market. That's a no-brainer every time, in my experience anyway. So those four things put together, that constitutes your pre-listing kit. And as you can see, it's not terribly complex. You could put something like that together in less than an hour. Okay, so I'm amazed at the number of agents that don't use a pre-listing kit, because if there's $10,000, $15,000 or $20,000 at stake, you'd think that you'd do everything in your power to make sure you win the listing. Now, I know a lot of people get busy, but okay, if you're right in the middle of making a sale, or if you've got to have a life-saving operation, or there's some critical action going on, you may not have time to do it. But I think it's you know, at the top of the food chain when it comes to essential priorities in a real estate career is getting your pre-listing kit together, and I'm about to tell you why. So when the magic window starts, the seller will call you, or there'll be a conversation. Hello, Ray, we're thinking of selling. Can you please come around and meet with us? Does 2 o'clock Friday sound okay, Mrs. Jones? Yes, that sounds great. Okay, Mrs. Jones, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Is there anybody else there that needs to help us with this process? That's code for, will all the decision makers be there? I don't want to say that, but I'm wanting to make sure that I'm presenting to all the property owners where I possibly can. And Mrs. Jones says, yes, Ray, my husband's going to be with us. That'll be fine. Terrific. I get the email for herself and her husband if I need to, and phone numbers, etc. Their names, make sure I've got the spelling correct, the address, obviously, and I put an email together. Thanks, Mrs. Jones. Looking forward to seeing you Friday at 2 o'clock. I put my email together straight away, and I say to them immediately, I respond and say, thanks so much for reaching out. Thanks so much for the call. I'm going to prepare a little bit of information before we meet. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday at 2. Right, so that's a prompt email that goes out 5 minutes after you've made the call. It confirms that you've got the email address correct. That's something, because if that bounces back, you know you're in trouble. And it also speaks to your promptness and your attention. When somebody's thinking of selling, they are thinking about it 25 hours a day, right? They're not thinking about going to Spain or having a baby or buying a car. They're thinking about selling. So anything to do with that is very receptive on their radar as far as sales psychology goes. So giving that instant bit of feedback, you might even say, if you're one of my clients, you'll be sending them an e-copy of your book, either How to Sell Your Home for More or The Ultimate Home Seller's Guide, a little bit of information that they can get started on to start preparing their home to achieve a top selling price. So that's the first thing. So that's done, that email's gone. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to prepare a physical version of my pre-listing kit. So the four pages, as I mentioned, the covering letter, the list of comparable sales, which is the next one, the client testimonials, and the blank questionnaire. And I'm going to sign that letter. I'm going to create a PDF of that because I'm going to email it to them. And I'm also going to package it up. I'm going to put it in an envelope. I'm not going to fold it. And so it's going in an A4 size envelope. And on the envelope, I'm going to be writing their address. I'm going to be writing that in hand, in handwriting, because I want it to look less like an official document. I want to get it opened. I'm intentionally not going to put my company logo on the cover because they'll say, oh yeah, we're seeing Ray on Friday. He's already said we're coming. This is just stuff that's going to, you know, we don't need to see it. Or they might have seen another pre-listing kit from another agent and it might not get opened. So, you know, many times I've been to listing presentations and I've just seen a stack of listing presentations from other agents, or pre-listing kits, I'm sorry, from other agents just sitting there and they're not opened. So we want to get it opened, right? And it's only four pages. It's not a big deal for them to digest and understand. So I package that together and I deliver that to them as soon as I can. If I need to deliver it myself, I'll knock on the door and Mr. and Mrs. Jones might be there and they'll say, Ray, why don't you come in at the moment? I say, look, I'd love to come in, but I'm just on my way to an appointment at the moment, or I can't make it right now, but I'm very much looking forward to seeing you at 2 o'clock on Friday. But I've prepared this little bit of information. I think you might find this interesting. Check it out, because we'll be able to discuss it on Friday at 2 o'clock when we meet. Terrific, Ray. That's great. See you later. And off I go. So Friday, 2 o'clock comes around. Now, this is important. I'm not flustered, I'm relaxed. And when I was at the very start of my career, and if I was going into an expensive home, I'd be pretty anxious, I'd be pretty nervous. So, and I think I learned this from Tony Robbins, I forget where it was, but I think it was from a Tony Robbins cassette back in the day that I had in my car. Some of you listening might remember those, but they were the days, eh, the cassettes. Love the sound on the cassettes. But the idea was I'd learn this breathing technique and I would just breathe. I'd get to the appointment 15 minutes earlier and I'd just park around the corner and I'd just get calm and relaxed and get focused. I guess I didn't do meditation back then. I guess that's what I was doing, kind of pre-sales meditation. So I'd just get calm and I'd be relaxed. You know, I looked good, my tie was straight, my shoes were clean, my suit was fresh, my shirt was white. And I would be line up at the door and I'd be knocking on the door right at 2 o'clock, right on the button. I wasn't 5 minutes early or 5 minutes late. I'd be there right on the knocker of two. Now, that again speaks to your reliability. They're looking for a reliable marketing person to partner with to sell their home, right? So you've already responded to them. You've had that communication. You sent them an email after they made the appointment. You sent them an email with the pre-listing kit. You also sent the physical pre-listing kit. So that's three communications that you've had. And here you are, communication number four for the actual presentation. So you might be wondering, how does all this improve the chances of building rapport and reduce the chances of price shock? Well, here's what we do. So when you open the door, Mr. and Mrs. Jones are there. G'day, Ray, how's it going? Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, lovely to meet you. Mr. Jones says, great, why don't we take a look through? Let me give you the tour, or whatever they say. At that point, most agents go, yeah, sure, lead the way. I used to do that. But it's really hard to build rapport when they're taking you around the property because they're showing off their property. And after you've had a look around at the property, what do they want? What are you expected to share? You're expected to share your opinion of value, firstly. And secondly, you're expected to share your fee for service, right? So, but yet really haven't had any chance to build rapport. So what I like to do is when Mr. Johnson says, yeah, let me give you the tour, I say, hey, I'd love to have a look through. That'd be great. Would you mind if I asked you a few questions first? Mrs. Johnson says, not at all. Let's go to the kitchen. Would you like a cup of tea? I'd love a cup of tea. I'd like a glass of water? Love a glass of water. And I'm at the kitchen and we're getting into some small talk. We both have a cat called Percy. We both have kids at the same school. We both follow the same football team. We both holiday at Phillip Island. I don't know, but any good salesperson I know will look for this rapport. Maybe you know somebody in common. You might have been referred to Mr. and Mrs. Jones by a friend of yours or something like that. You'll talk about them. And that's just that little bit of rapport building that you can get started with. You know, you might make a comment of something hanging on the wall, etc. We've all done it. It's just really good, a really good strategy to start to build rapport. I haven't seen around the house yet. And before I do, I start asking a few questions. So once the small talk's out of the way, and this, I'm coming back to the question that the insurance guy asked me, and it goes something like this. And if you're making notes, I would write this down because it's an absolute, you know, smasher of an idea. It's been one of the best lines that I've been able to use in my whole career, and so many people that I work with use it now. It's brilliant. And it goes like this. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Let me ask you, and at this point I've got my pen out and I've got my folder open, my leather-bound binder and notepad. Let me ask you, what would you like to achieve from our meeting? And that is the magic line. What would you like to achieve from our meeting? Because here's what's going to happen. If this all goes well, I'm going to be wanting to ask some closing questions. And my closing question that I want to get to is, okay, I'm ready to be your agent. Can we get to work? Or how do you feel about hiring me? Or whatever your favorite closing question is when you want to sign up your seller and get to work, right? That's what you're there for. I don't think you're there to do research and go away and come back. You're there to get in and get the listing and get to work. You're busy, right? No time like the present. And let's not forget that the magic leaves with you. If you walk out and all the warm and fuzzies are gone within about 10 minutes, they're all forgotten. So why not use the fact that you're there to ask for the order, right? So that comes, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what I mean. So you are sitting at the table, you've asked the question, what would you like to achieve from our meeting? You've got your binder open, or your diary, or your notebook open, your journal. And Mr. Jones says, well, we want to know your fee. Okay, and I write down, yep, my fee for service, all right, and I write that down as an agenda point. And Mrs. Jones says, well, we'd like your opinion of value of what you think our property is worth. Yes, opinion of value, I write that down, that's another bullet point. And I'll say, what else? And Mrs. Jones will look at Mr. Jones and say, well, Harry's got this whole train set in the garage that takes up way too much room. I've been trying to ask him to get rid of it for years. I think it should be gone. What do you think? And I'll say, well, let's have a look at it. Train set, garage, ? Right? Is there anything else? Well, yeah, there's a few cracked tiles in the bathroom. We're thinking we should get those fixed up. And at which point I'll volunteer, well, I've got a great tiling guy. Maybe we can ask him to give you an estimate. What's that little trial close right there? Yep, that sounds terrific. Okay, fine. What else? And at this point I'll ask, let me ask you, beautiful home, why are you thinking of selling? So I want to find out, I need to find out while I'm there why they're thinking of selling, or at least ask the question. I think it's impossible to sell a home unless you know why the seller is selling. So I think that's a great time, if you feel the moment is right, when all of that's coming together, to drop that in. Now, I still haven't looked around the property yet. We're having a fine time. I'm having a cup of tea. Everything's great. I'm asking them these questions. They're giving me this feedback. They're telling me that they're moving up to the Central Coast so they can be closer to their daughter who's just had a baby. They're going to be doing some babysitting. They want to be near the family. What a fabulous reason. We might talk about family and how important all of that is, and living where you want to live and not where you have to live, and all of that sort of stuff, why that's important, feeding it back. And then I'll get to the next, before I start addressing these agenda items, is I'll say, let me ask you, Did you take a look at those comparable sales that I shared with you yesterday? I sent them via email and I also almost also dropped them off. Now, I promise you that if the listing presentation is read, is opened, they will definitely be reading those recent sales because they relate directly to what they're going to receive as a sale price for their property. That's what they're focused on, right? So anything to do with money always gets noticed. People will look, they'll scan the page, so they will definitely have seen them. So what they're going to be saying at this point is, oh yeah, we saw that. And I'll say, was there anything there that you think stands out as an ideal comparable for your home? And they'll say, well, we saw the place. We actually went through the place at 123 Johnson Street. We think our place is a little better than that. It's certainly a bit more modern. It's a little bit bigger. And you'll know in your mind that 123 Johnson Street sold for 880. So, you know, they're already thinking in the 900s. So you've at least got a little bit of a heads up as to where they're heading price-wise. Do you see what I mean? Do you see what happened there? So I haven't blurted out what I think their property's worth, which is, remember, 800 to 860. That's my feeling, because they're looking in excess of that. So my job is to help them sell for the highest price. My job is to make sure that I can introduce as many buyers to the property as I can, and they can get a sale. So they've shared that with me. I can then start to talk about some of the other sales, and then I'll be asking them if they can give me a look around, and we'll have a quick tour of the property, and we'll normally come back to the kitchen where I can start to talk about the other things. And I talk about that actually in episode 112. If you Google Top Agents Playbook episode 112, or if you go to the site topagentsplaybook.com, you'll be able to find it there. It's easier just to do a search on Google, Top Agents Playbook, episode 112. It's called The Ultimate Listing Presentation. So that's my thinking. That's my strategy. Those two things there have achieved the outcome, I believe, of increasing the opportunity for me to build more rapport and decreasing the risk of price shock by discussing price beforehand. And I think I've done another episode on you know, the whole idea around talking about price and explaining how, you know, the worst case scenario is what we call a logical price, and the best case scenario is what we call an emotional price. That's from Sydney agent Jason Boone, delivers that perfectly, which is a great way to get into the price into the price discussion. But I really just wanted to talk about the magic window today. I think everybody can improve on that. If you question yourself whether you think a pre-listing kit is worth it, let me answer that for you and say yes, 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 it's definitely worth it. So I'm encouraging you to set it up. If you want to reach out to me, I can probably get you the PDF or some more information on it, or I think you can probably find it if you go to that episode 112 at Top Agents Playbook. All right, that's the scoop. I'm just turning up at the cottage, so I've got a little bit of work ahead of me to get things ready for the weekend. I hope you're doing great. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. Take care.
Well, good work. You've listened to this episode to the very end. That means you're motivated to gain every possible advantage to take your real estate career to the next level. It also tells me you're open for ideas. The AI revolution is here, and like many agents, you're probably trying to work out how you can leverage it. I'm not talking about using ChatGPT to help craft some compelling ad copy or email. This is on a whole new level. The way I see it, agents right now face two choices: become a spectator as AI continues to shape our industry and our lives, or set yourself up with a real easy ads account and become your own AI ad machine. And don't stress, this isn't rocket science, and we guide you through the setup to creating your first ad. Join the agents of tomorrow by getting started today. Head over to realeasyads.com and let's set up a call so I can give you a live demo.